Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
As you know, last week we talked about halftime. The idea that we are half of the year has been consumed. And we asked the question, now what? What do we do? And we answered that by saying that the strategy for the rest of the next half of the year is to the words in Matthew 6:33, which is to seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness and expect all these things to be added to us as well. Now, we know that when you're seeking God, the most basic way to do that is to pray. But why is it that every time we hear the word pray mentioned, what happens is a picture that looks something like this, boring and not exciting, something that we don't remember, we don't forget to eat, but we always forget to pray. We sit through movies and sermons for hours on end, but we can't last a few minutes praying, and it almost feels like we're talking to the ceiling. Why is praying so difficult is the question we want to answer today. And if you can understand what Jesus thought about this, your prayer life will never be the same. Our story is picked up in Matthew chapter 6, 26, verse 36. Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here a while I go over there and pray." The context of this story is prayer. Now in verse 39, it says, going a little further or farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed. "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." He's talking about this idea of praying to the Father. This is a moment just before Jesus was to be crucified. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. There you go. Even the greatest of the leaders of Jesus were sleeping when it comes to praying. But the question is answered in this story, and we want to know that so this does not happen to us. Now he goes on to say in verse 40, "Couldn't you have men kept watch with me?" In other words, couldn't you have been able to be alert? That's what it means to keep watch. And lasted for an hour. Some people teach that it takes an hour to pray effectively, but that's not what Jesus was saying. What was Jesus saying was you couldn't even last an hour. In other words, you should be praying more than an hour, but you can't even last 1 hour. And then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. And then he asked Peter, notice he talked to Peter, one of his leaders. Reminds me of a story of these two church leaders. One guy said, "Hey, Bob, what's up?" And then he says, the reality is our church numbers are dropping and our offerings are down. And then the other guy says, "I think we should pray. Has it really come to that?" is the question. Most leaders only pray when there's a crisis, not realizing that they should be praying every single minute of the day. Matthew 26, verse 41 continues where Jesus says, "Watch and pray." Clearly, the context of part of this story is prayer. And then he says, "so that you will not fall into temptation." Temptation is the work of the devil. It has a very strong connection to why we don't pray. When we understand we're not praying, it's because we're being tempted by no less than the devil himself. And so Jesus says, how do you make sure that you don't fall into temptation? He explains in this one line, and if you can capture the understanding here, you will never pray the same way. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The devil knows that. The devil knows that the spirit is willing. In other words, we desire to pray, but our flesh is weak. And that's why he wants us to pray with the flesh. And as we try and attain to pray with the flesh, we think that we're going to get there in the spirit. And he knows so well that that will never happen. We try to start praying using our physical mouths and our bodies, trying to reach the spiritual. And he knows that's not going to work either. He's trying to make us pray in the natural to get to the spiritual. In many ways, his greatest strategy is religion. That's what religion is. Man's attempt at making the supernatural, the natural, supernatural. Man has this idea that he could reach God with his flesh and reach the spirit, or use the physical to reach the spiritual, the natural to the supernatural. Whatever religion we practice, and there are a variety of different religions, even a Christian religion, All of that is nothing more than an attempt to making the natural supernatural. The difference is the gospel is different. When Jesus came, the idea was to take the Spirit and make it into flesh. That's what happened. God, the Spirit, came in a physical body. The spiritual thus became physical. It's not the other way around. You're not trying to make the physical spiritual. God, the spiritual, came in the physical body. Thus, the supernatural became very natural. That's the difference between religion and the gospel. God, man's attempt at making things natural, supernatural, God made the supernatural very natural. More than that, he replaced religion with relationship. And even more than that, he gave us not a tempter, he gave us the Holy Spirit who teaches us how to pray. Romans chapter 8 verse 26 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our what? The Spirit is willing, but the what is? The flesh is weak. In our weakness, the Holy Spirit helps us. We do not know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit teaches us how to do that. But the Spirit himself, no less, the Spirit of God himself intercedes. This is an important word. To intervene on behalf of another. The Holy Spirit intervenes for us, causing our spirits to learn how to pray for us. Then we begin to remove that weakness and take on the Spirit of God, the strength of God made possible to us by the gospel of Jesus Christ. How? Through wordless groans. In other words, the spiritual prayers are beyond words. And the reason why our prayers are boring is because we try to put them into physical words rather than a spiritual reality that the Holy Spirit leads us into. God has made the supernatural very natural, and that's how you pray. That's why the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Because praying without ceasing is supernatural. It's spiritual. In fact, it is also very natural in the sense that it's just like breathing. Breathing is natural. You don't have to think about breathing. That's why breathing is never ceasing. You just keep doing it. It's just a natural thing that you do. Your body breathes naturally. In fact, it takes greater effort not to breathe than it is to breathe. Think about what these days where we wear masks and it's so unnatural. That's not to say that you shouldn't wear masks. We obviously were in a COVID situation. But the point in pointing that out is it is not natural. Prayer is very natural. When I'm washing dishes, I'm praying. I'm talking to God and telling him about my issues, my fears, the things I want. I talk to him about my children and my daughters-in-law and my grandchildren. I talk to him about my finances. I talk to him about anything. When I'm shaving, I'm talking to God. I'm talking to him about my plans for the day. How am I going to deliver this message? What am I going to do today? When I'm in commute, I'm talking to God. It is very natural. It's not something that I have to stop doing something to do. It's like breathing. Something very natural. Something that doesn't stop. It's actually because it's necessary. We breathe naturally because we know it's important and necessary. Same with prayer. Prayer is to the heart, the way that oxygen is to our bodies. God in prayer is to our spirits. The more we pray, the more natural we pray, the more the necessities of life are brought into our spirits and the strength of God comes upon us. But it's not just necessary, it's actually nonstop. That's what it means when you say you pray without ceasing. It's like breathing. It's natural, it's necessary, and more importantly, you never stop. A short little story here. On the 27th of June, which is last Saturday, in our family group, our chat group online, we got a message. The message was from our son, Joseph, who was in Los Angeles. And it was at 5:20 in the morning, and I was just ready to step out of, I just actually literally stepped out of the door of our apartment on my way to walk, my usual walk, and to pray. And as soon as this message arrived, the message said, "Hi guys, please pray for Manu. Manu is my one-year-old grandson." And apparently he had fallen. He fell and got deep cuts in his fingers. He had grabbed onto something and that sharp thing cut his fingers. Apparently these were deep cuts. And they were in the ER now. And I don't want to scare you or gross you. And it was a lot of blood. And I found that the picture showed part of his finger was barely hanging And this is my one-year-old grandson. And there was a lot of blood at first. And then it says, but it seems it has slowed down and hopefully doesn't require stitches. I went back inside her apartment, called my son, and started to talk to him and prayed for him and my other grandson, the older brother of Manu, to give them peace. Because prayer is nonstop. Whether I hear an ambulance, I pray. Whether I see an old man walking in the park who doesn't seem to be doing well, I pray. Whether I have a bright idea in my mind that I'm thinking of, I pray. Prayer is the key. And the devil wants to tempt you and lie to you and make you turn it into a religion. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, make your pray and petition to God, and with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the promise is, at the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that transcends your mind, transcends your emotions, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Prayer is powerful. Question for you, how can you make your prayer life more natural and nonstop? It's really by realizing God made the supernatural very natural. But more than that, praying is not just like breathing. It is as natural as eating. It's just like eating. The Bible tells us, taste and see that the Lord is good. The more you pray, the more you taste God, the more you see God, and the more you realize how good God is. It's just like eating. In other words, prayer is enjoyable. It's like one of the greatest passions of mankind is eating. We love to eat, but there are times when we don't feel like eating. Why? When we're not hungry. Some of us, the reason why we don't pray is because we've filled ourselves with other things. We've busied our minds and our hearts with other endeavors rather than being hungry and desperate and wanting to talk to God. That's the secret. The hungrier you are for God, the more you're going to pray and the more you're going to enjoy. And guess what? It said that when you're eating something, it tastes sweeter, it tastes tastier when something is something you haven't eaten for a long time. Prayer is more enjoyable when you're hungry for God. And the second reason why we don't eat, even though it's enjoyable, is when we ate something that's bad for us. I had a bum stomach last Monday because I had salad that had something that wasn't good in it. And I had an upset stomach. And I was spooing and I nauseated and all of that. And I started to take probiotics. And that's prayer. It's the probiotics of the soul. It's putting in the right stuff to negate the bad stuff. And every time we do that, our prayers become amazingly wonderful. And thirdly, the third reason why we don't necessarily want to eat is because when we don't like the food that's being presented, that's religion. When it becomes boring, it's repetitive, it's the same thing over and over again. It's not just not enjoyable, it's not exciting. The truth of the matter is, the greatest passion of mankind is probably eating. And rightfully so, because it's enjoyable and it's exciting. Nothing can be more exciting than seeing different colors, different shapes, different sizes, different smells, and different tastes, and different flavors. It's amazing. But the fact of the matter is, not all foods are good for an individual. For instance, when I go to the grocery, I buy oranges and apples because my wife loves oranges. I'm not very much into oranges. I'm more into apples. When I buy nuts, she takes the pecans and she takes the other nuts, the cashews. She takes the pistachios. I take the walnuts and the almonds, and I take the filberts because we are not all the same. The point in saying this is that's the exciting part about prayer, because God fixes you a meal. God gives you what you really are made out of. It is very personal. It is something that is like a concierge in the spirit where God gives you exactly what is for you. It's not a cookie cutter type of religion, and that's why it dies when you don't understand how powerful and lovely prayer really is. Psalms chapter 23 verse 5 says, God prepares a table before. I cannot wait to get up in the morning to meet God, because He prepares a table for me, just for me, just for you, if you would but just meet Him. He says, in the presence of my enemy, He anoints my head with oil. More importantly, it's like eating because I'm fulfilled. my cup literally overflows. It's like eating because it's not just enjoyable and exciting, it's fulfilling. And sometimes the reason why we need to pray, more importantly, is because left to ourselves, this is what we're going to eat. Some of you, this is what I will eat. I'm a chocoholic. But God wants us to give us the right meals. And He knows exactly the right proteins, the right carbohydrates in the spirit, the right fats in the spirit, the right micronutrients in the spirit that are exactly just for you. And every time you pray this way and God gives you this banquet, your prayer life ascends. It becomes like eating. It becomes enjoyable. It becomes exciting. It becomes fulfilling. Question for you, how can you make your prayer life more enjoyable and exciting? The answer is right there. God made the supernatural very natural. And every time you do that, you taste and you see. And every time you taste and every time you see, you begin to enjoy and understand how good God is. Which leads me to my third and final point. It's like talking. Prayer is simply like talking. It's talking to God. The difference is you're talking to God. And talking works when it's about time. You can't just talk in rapid sentences. Real talking takes time. I like this picture of this woman who's walking while everybody's in a rush. We're all in a rush trying to do so. Prayer is talking to someone. Sitting down and saying, I want to spend time with you. I want to be with you. It's about time. Talking is not just about time. It's about a language. When you want to be heard, you have to speak the same language. And people ask me very often, Pastor, well, how do you talk? How do you talk to God? And I say, you know, the reality is it's groans that words cannot express. It's not the eloquence. It's the language of the heart. It's the thief on the cross whose prayer was so simple. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus heard him. Because the language of prayer is not the language of words and intellect and mind, but a heart. A heart that loves God. That chooses to say, I'm coming here. Very naturally, like breathing, like eating. Because I want to talk to you in my own language of my heart, where I am. It's about an exchange. It's not just talking to somebody. It's not just talking with words. It's actually listening and hearing. And that's what makes God so powerful. He listens very well. One of my favorite persons to talk to is my wife. I love to talk to her mainly because she's smart. She's obviously pretty, almost married 38 years now. It's a joy to be around this woman. And she's funny. But more importantly, it's because she's a great listener. And every time I talk to her, she reminds me of God because He listens. Because communication is not just words, it's an exchange. And God communicates. He speaks to us in a very different sort of language from the heart. He makes things happen. I once asked God, God, why don't you speak audibly? I can't forget what He said to me. He said, Joey, talk is cheap. And rightfully so. A lot of people talk is cheap. And you know what's not cheap? The written word. When you put things in writing and promises in a contract, it doesn't become cheap anymore. But you know what's even more valuable than writing a thing in a contract? Action. When actions speak louder than words. And I gave you my son, and I answer your prayers, but you know the most powerful form of communication, he said to me once, the Spirit. When you can sense that I am with you and always with you and I will never leave you and I will never depart from you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every second, every millisecond of the day, that is powerful. When Jesus was prayed to by the thief, remember when you come to me in your kingdom, Jesus answered, truly I tell you today, you will be with me today, right now, in paradise. I want to close this message by telling you a short story that happened to me more than 25 years ago. It was the time my oldest son is now 37 years old, and this was when he was 10 years old. And it was a bad year. I've lost a lot of money, didn't have any money. The economy was horrible. And I was praying to God, actually complaining to God. And by the way, God has no problems with you complaining. I was telling him, you know how much I've served you. I've loved you. I've tithed. I've been a leader in the church. I've done all of this. And this is what I get. I probably had the equivalent of $2 in my pocket. And I was really, in many ways, mad at God. And I was walking around the mall, and it was just a bad, bad time. And I remember as I complained and I complained and I complained, he led me up the escalator, and it was just everything in that floor, the lights were out, and there was just one shop that the light was open. And I knew with $2, I couldn't buy my boy, my 10-year-old son, which is, I wanted to buy something special for his 10th birthday. And I walked in that store, and I looked around, and I couldn't see anything that was $1 worth of giving to my son. As I was exiting, I saw a little aquarium filled with hamsters, and it was $1, the equivalent of $1. I bought the hamster and couldn't even afford a cage. They put it in a paper bag, and I was self-pitying. And by the way, God doesn't have any problems with that. And I was, and my last dollar was just enough to take me home in a cab. I got home, and I was really heartbroken that this is all I could give my son. And all my three sons came, and I handed his little paper bag to my son Joseph, and it started squishing. Shh, and he opened that bag, and he grabbed that hamster and said, "This is the greatest gift in the world." And I remember my two other sons say, "I want the same thing." At that moment, I saw God. I actually had to excuse myself. Get out of my house and talk to God and say, "Thank you. Your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts." God always exchanges. He always answers. The question is, will you do it naturally like you're breathing? Will you do it like eating, where you enjoy it so much, you're so excited to be around Him, and that it fulfills you, that you're willing to take the time, and that you're willing to exchange, and that you're willing to receive from Him? This is prayer at its most basic reality. As I close, I want to lead you in that moment of proclaiming the Word of God. Jesus is our Savior. And my prayer is that you will grow in prayer as we proclaim this prayer as you follow with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for making the supernatural so natural, like breathing, for giving us access into the presence of the Father anytime, anywhere, all the time. Show us that prayer is our acknowledging, our way of acknowledging you as the priority of our lives, that we may pray and find enjoyment, excitement, and fulfillment as we see your preeminence, your power, your purpose, your provision, your peace, and your protection over our lives. Just as your early disciples prayed, teach us how to pray. And just as we are breathing, eating, and having an exchange with you, let it be so natural, God. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.